with this heart open wide, from the depths, from the heights,
I will bring a sacrifice.
With these hands lifted high, hear my song, hear my
me.
saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. My praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause Christ rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. My God will finish what He started. My God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things still to come, oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come, oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come, oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause Christ rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. Amen.
Well, guys, I'm glad that you could join us again today. You know, we've been doing this series in Romans, and we just started it last week. And last week, we had this intro of who was Paul. And actually, I know this is going to mess you up. Can you take a mark of where those monitors are for Allison's mic, this mic? And just bring them down in the house, and then you can turn them back up after, because that's going to be crazy loud, and I'll scare myself. I remember when Olive Davis was alive, and she was sitting down probably about where Christopher is right now. And I don't know, I had the lapel at that time, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, at one point in the message, I gave this big clap and a shout, and she came about 3 feet off her chair. Anyway, her heart was really good, praise the Lord. Anyway, I don't want to scare anybody today, so I know that I may get loud, because again, in Romans, it is so filled with such incredible truth for us. And last week, as we looked at who Paul was, we asked ourselves, who are you? Who are you called to be? Who has God designed you to be? In the general, yes, but even specifically. And this week, we're going to try to speed things up, because if you were here last week or you listened on the podcast, we only got halfway through the first verse. And we're going to try to take it in chunks of principle and what teaching that Paul showed us. In Romans 1, we're going to look at verses 8 to 16 today, and I'm going to try to stop along the way to unearth these incredible truths and statements that Paul is making to the church. So having all the background, if you have your Bibles and you want to look at Romans 1, again, we want to encourage you, be reading Romans as we work through this. Go back, read chapter 1 again. Go ahead and read those chapters that are coming after that. But starting to read at verse 8 today, we say this. He says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world." That statement is incredible. Paul is reminding believers in Rome that it's their very lives that is changing the world. And think about that. That is God's plan for our lives. That is the power that God grants each of us in this life if we do this life the way that He asks. That you, just as living the life that God has given you and seeking after holiness, you can change the community, amen? And even the world. Like, Paul is making this big statement that says, you matter. Continue to let your light shine. You matter. What you do is making a difference. And I think that that's such a beautiful thing. And you know what? I can't help but think over the last few weeks, people that have taken their days off to come and load wood and cut wood and split wood, and Candy has been coming in, and Kirtland and I have been tempted, and praise the Lord, we put it downstairs because it was just too big a temptation, and now it's out of sight, and sometimes it's still in the back of my mind, but it's not there, and I haven't taken any candy. And the Christmas, or the cards that have come in, and the Christmas boxes that are going out today, all of those things, guys, I want you to know, make a big, big difference. And being faithful is about letting your light shine. And you know what? There's been so many believers by name that I have met in this life, and I kind of went, wow. I would never know that they were followers of Jesus if the evidence was just the way they lived. Now, again, praise the Lord, I'm not the judge, right? But some of the things that I see in their lives, I kind of go, I just don't see the light shining. And I want to tell you guys that you guys are changing our county. I thank God for you guys. I thank God for your willingness to give of time, of resources, of whatever it is that God has laid before you. Because I want you to know that it's making a big, big difference. We have people donating to our church that don't even come to our church. I was sharing with Shirley, the lady who wrote the little black funeral dress that we started Grief Share again. 90% of our Grief Share, they don't come to our church. How incredible is that? And you want to know why? Because you guys are letting your light shine. Don't ever grow weary in doing good. Amen? Let's continue verse 9. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I have planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. Here's Paul pouring out his love. And I love this. And church, I want us to learn from this. You know what? He says right out of the gate that he's praying for Rome. You know, I want us to be a church that is always praying for our brothers and sisters. Again, this idea of if we are going to say, how are you doing? Then we stop and we listen for the response. And if they say, oh, fine, everything's fine, say, whoa, hold on. Is everything fine? You know, because you could tell when they're kind of just giving you that pat answer. But then when they give us a response that if they're struggling, I hope that we would be a people of prayer and we would stop. I can't tell you the times. Like every time Bill comes in right now because of the journey that he's going through, this morning when he came in, my heart jumped because there's been so many times during the week where I just stop what I'm doing and I'm praying for strength for him. And you know what? It works. All that we would be a people like that. Paul says he longs to visit, longs to encourage, longs to invest, longs to share his spiritual gifts with his brothers and sisters. He longs to encourage them. Does that not sound like a church that you want to be a part of? Woo! That's what I want our church always to be.
to be there for one another, right? To long to be together. And this is a crazy time. Like, you have to actually book a seat to come to church. Are you kidding me? You've got to make plans. You got to stop what you're doing. You got to set reminders. Some people are learning that because we're turning them away. And I think about this. I said, you know what? It thrills my soul that you have to book a seat in church, even though it's the most inconvenient thing that I've ever done in my life, because people are texting me, they're talking to me on message, then they're personal messaging me, then they're talking to me on the church site, and some are leaving messages on the phone, and then I don't even sometimes know where the phones are, and I'm going, wow, how are we keeping this together? It's only God alone. But what excites me is that we have to make plans to be here. The church can't be an afterthought. And you know what? I long for that day when that is true of us, even when there's not a pandemic coming on, that we can't wait for Sunday, that we long to be encouraged, we long to be an encouragement, that you know what? If we miss church, then we feel like we miss something. Like, it'll ruin our week almost. Like, how encouraging is it to come together and to be lifted up and to be challenged? Again, church is about challenge. He goes on in verse 13. He says, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Now, I don't want us to miss this big truth. That's why I'm kind of breaking it down in each little section here. You know what? What Paul is proclaiming here is that God loves everyone. The wise and the Hab fans. Think about that. Like, he loves everyone, right? I know. I just lost Jack. Curtis is happy. There's so many people who are divided right now. But guess what? Depending on whether you are right or you are a Habs fan, God loves you. Think about that truth today. Like, that is amazing. Kirtland hasn't left yet, right? And Paul goes on to proclaim that God is for the Greek and the non-Greek. Now, again, think about this. Jesus was a Jew and he came to the Jews. Aren't you some glad that he opened up the doors of heaven to you and I? Like, I shudder to think of what my life would be like if I didn't have the presence of God, his strength and his wisdom guiding me, because you know what? Alone, I was making a mess. And the only one who made a difference in my foolish life was this King of Kings. And Paul proclaims that he is here to accomplish the will of the Father. Think about that. What is the will of the Father? We talked about this before, but 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promises, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Think about that. That's the will of the Father. Again, John 3:16, some of you know this verse very, very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is the will of the Father? That none would be destroyed and that none would perish. That's the will of the Father. And you know what? If that gets Paul's juices running, I pray that that would always be something that would get our juices flowing as well. That again, in a small town, there are people that you just don't like, and I understand that. Here's the good news. You got to love them. I know that's not easy. But oh, it was so worth it. Because you know what? There's the thing your enemy can never dismiss when you show them love. Like, think about that. Do you deserve God's love? No, you're like me. You're miserable, and you should be doomed. But this gospel came to me too. Oh, that we would be ready to embrace the will of the Father, that none should perish, that God loves. Who does he love? He loves all. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue. His love knows no end. Now that, again, is hard for us to grasp. Why? Because, again, our love is conditional, isn't it? I will love you if you, and then insert your desire here, right? Like, sometimes when I'm marrying people outside of the church, I kind of want to just, I say, write your own vows if they want to. You should hear some of the doozies that I have heard over the years. Woo! I don't recommend anybody writes their own vows, because then you find out a little bit of how their brain works. And let me tell you, there are a lot of people deceived in what love really means, right? But again, we have this idea in the world, I will love you if you love me. I will love you if you provide for me. I will love you if you serve me, if you give to me, if you protect me. And on the conditions go, but our love is so fickle. And really, think about our network of people in our lives. Oftentimes, like, I am so grieved at marriages that last, you know, this is a crazy confession. I get excited when a marriage lasts a year now. And that almost, it is, it's funny, people are giggling, but I wish it were just comical. Like, it's not ha-ha funny, it's peculiar funny. Like, they make a year, and I'm like going, oh, Lord Jesus, woo! Is it, could I hear two? Could I hear two? Anybody got two, right? And it's kind of amazing to me, and I kind of think about this, that we love often in this world until we get a better offer, don't we? Or we love until it gets hard, and then we move on. We love when it's convenient and beneficial, but all of a sudden, guess what? If it starts costing me, then we're out of here. No wonder mankind is so unhappy, but here's the problem. They don't understand love. Like, everyone in this world is looking for love. That's truth. That's a basic Christian belief. Everybody is looking for love, but here's what love is. In 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. So if the world is looking for love, what the world, everyone on planet Earth is looking for, God. But the problem is they've been lied to by the enemy. Oh, how did that happen? Well, of course, he is the father of lies. We know his game plan. And he distorts this idea of love, and all of a sudden, we start looking for what we think is love, but it's really lust. We start looking for what we think is love, but it's really protection or familiarity. We start looking for what we think is love, but it looks like provision. And on the counterfeits go. And pretty soon, when our idea of love starts to leave us wanting, then we're out of there. But you know what? If we found God, then all of our desires, all of our needs, all the love that we could handle would come. And then we'd understand this truth that our love is not dependent even on our spouse. Whew. But guess what? If we loved God like we should love God, then his love would flow through us for everyone, including that spouse that may be hard to love this month. Wow. Kind of interesting, isn't it? You see, God's love is big enough and yours isn't. Oh, that we would find the love of the Father. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, the good news. Oh, the good news. Paul goes on in verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Amen? For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now again, I want to stop here because Paul makes a great big statement, and most of you will recognize that verse. For I am unashamed. Big, 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 big statement, isn't it? And you know what? You think about this. Everything Paul did. Now there's some people that say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And you kind of roll your eyes in the back of your head and you go, oh, I wish that you would not talk about the gospel because your life does not necessarily demonstrate it, right? Now, again, we're not the judge. Praise the Lord. Pray for people more than you talk about them. Amen? Because you shouldn't be talking about them at all. But when Paul says, I am unashamed of the gospel, this is a feller who, for most of the New Testament that he wrote, he was chained to a Roman soldier or a prison wall that was in the bowels of the city. Think about that. So when he says he's not ashamed of the gospel, he is a guy that we should listen to because it cost him everything, eventually his life. How about you? Could you say with great enthusiasm that you too are not ashamed of the gospel? You know, I'm always amazed when I talk with believers or when I'm out in public with believers. It's kind of interesting to me that sometimes it's Jesus is the thing that we don't talk about, right? Like right now in our culture, it's like you want to clear a room, talk about race or talk about Jesus. And everybody goes, I'm not going there. Do, 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 do. Oh, I have a meeting, right? Like it's one of those things that is one of those hot topics that all of a sudden people don't want to talk about it because for the world, you know what? Jesus is pretty offensive. Is that a reason for you to be silent? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? But there's a lot of times we want to keep our faith kind of cozy so it's a blanket for us. But then when all of a sudden in public somebody says something that is drastically against the gospel or morality, we say, not going to go there. You know, there's times that we need to go there. There's times that we need to stir the water. Again, always listening to the prompting of the Father, but I love it because God has called us to be warriors. I love it when you're warriors. Now, again, it's knowing the arenas that you should be in and the times that you should be in, right? Like, I have that discussion with people. But I love it when people are bold for their faith. Like, I love it when Mike gets into it sometimes in the middle of a store, and I've heard him do it. Now, again, he's passionate about the Lord, and that's fantastic, right? I love it when Chris is letting his light shine and saying, you know what, I had a dream the other night, or I had a prompting from the other night, and I really feel like we should be doing this to be loving our community, and he'll bring it in, and there's a lot of times I say, absolutely, you know what, let me pray about that, let me make a few calls, and we'll see if that can happen. Again, this idea that our faith is to be worn on our sleeve, that we're called to be the salt in the earth, the salt of the earth. We're called to be the light. And how in the world can we do that if we are ashamed? How many believe that Jesus is still the answer that the world needs? How many believe that he is still the righteousness that could set people free? The only one who doesn't believe that is Kirtland, oddly enough. You nodded. I said, put your hand up. How come you can't follow basic instructions? Just wait till your next evaluation. We should be unashamed of the gospel. Why? Because he is our hope. And we're always to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. Who is the hope that we have? The one who hung naked, publicly, beaten, his body destroyed for you and I. That is who we should proclaim. And even as Allison was singing that song to the cross, and I was just sitting there going, you did it for me. Like, I'm your prize. Why would you do that? I'm not worthy of that. And he did it anyway. When I was still an enemy of Christ, when I was still a sinner, he hung naked for me. And I will refuse to be ashamed of him. I don't care about politically corrupt. I care about being biblical. Like this verse from Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33 just blows my mind. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge them before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me to others, I will disown them to my Father in heaven. Think about that just for a minute. Like Jesus is just being real, man. How can I be ashamed of him after all he's done for me? And yet, you know what? Sometimes Jesus falls by the roadside, and at work, we're not the best person that we could be at work simply because it's not in the walls of the church. When we go, thank you, Leo. When we go to a sporting event, why should our language change? You know, sports have been so different because there haven't been crowds, and the NFL is one of the ones that's still letting a few people in because they have stadiums that hold 80,000, and there's 15,000 on some Sundays that are let in, and those people are losing their minds for their teams, for their quarterbacks, all right, for the defensive line. They're losing their minds. They paint their bodies. They spend thousands on jerseys and thousands on tickets, and they make it like a cult event that happens for 16 weeks of the year, then the playoffs. And they do that for what? For a game. And don't get me wrong, I get excited about sports. I can be one of those fools, but oh, that I would be a fool for Jesus first. Oh, that I would be unashamed of the very news that set me free. Like, think about that with me, church. That when we were lost, he found us. When we were blind, he gave us sight. When we were dead, he brought us to life. We should not be ashamed of that. Why? Because he did what we could not do, paid what we could not pay, won what we had already lost. And that's salvation given freely. How? Paul says to anyone who believes, that's all that's required is that we believe. Isn't that something to be thankful for today? Salvation through belief, that's grace, grace. God giving you what you don't deserve. That's mercy. God keeping you from what you do deserve. Salvation is that mercy shown to you. Like you couldn't earn it. Remember that. You're not good enough. We can't purchase it. We didn't have enough equity, right? We couldn't win it because we weren't smart enough. So here is the whole deal, that man could not control the sin issue, so left alone we would self-destruct. And when man could not, God did. Praise the Lord for salvation. Ephesians 2, starting to read it, verse 8, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works so that anyone could boast. And you see, that's what sets Christianity apart, that when you couldn't get to God, God came to us. That's the good news of the gospel. Again, if you've ever studied the world religions, and again, I've gone back and looked at all the faiths before I landed on Jesus. He was the only one that I couldn't dismiss. Why? Because all other faiths were telling me to fix myself, and that was not working for me. And when you go down them, like all the big ones, Buddhism says that you can fix yourself by giving up desires. I've never seen it succeed. Hinduism says that you get do-overs via reincarnation. Well, you know what? I've never seen a cat that behaves well, so how in the world is reincarnation even possible, right? Muslims believe that through the five pillars of Islam, you could fix yourself. I've never seen it happen. Judaism says that if you follow the law, you could fix yourself. I've never seen anybody follow the law yet. Christianity is the only faith that was real with us that said, you are a mess. And so because you can't be God. That's offensive to the world because everybody wants to be their own God. You can't be God. You couldn't fix yourself. You left alone are damned. So instead of you getting to God and fixing yourself, God knew that you would fail, so he came to you instead. You can't, you couldn't, you wouldn't, so Jesus did. That's the gospel. How could we ever be ashamed of that? How could we ever shy away from that truth? Even when culture disagrees. You know what? I hope that we would be a little more offensive because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the way revealed to us. Everybody bow your heads. Whew. I'm actually on time. Don't worry, next week I got a long one. Been writing it for 3 weeks. I need you all to be praying for me. If you know the book of Romans, you'll know what's coming. Paul talks about our sexuality. Woo! Some of you will want to miss it, some of you won't. But you all need to be praying for me because next week is going to be offensive, baby. We can't get till next week until we deal with the now. In this moment, maybe you are here and you would confess that you've been trying to fix yourself.
And you know it's not working. Trust me, I understand. I tried it for years. You are trying to fix yourself, and you are making a mess. You are trying to fix yourself, and you are getting worse. You are trying to fix yourself, and you're finding yourself alone, isolated, and everything you touch turns to mud. Maybe that's you here today. Maybe you're listening to this online. And even through the computer, your heart is pounding 1,000 miles an hour because you know that you're lost. It's evident to you that you don't know the way. Oh, that could end right now. Because he came for you. Because he came for me. Stop making a mess and surrender. All that's required, Paul says, is that you would believe. That you would believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son, as he proclaimed. Believe that he rose from the dead, as history proclaims. And then surrender. If it is evident to you that you are making a mess right now in your heart of hearts, I want you to pray, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. Maybe you've been in the church all of your life and you'd say, I don't know how in the world I got here. Let me tell you, with a little bit of counseling, it would be very clear how you got where you got. But maybe you need to pray that prayer and you've been in church all of your life, but you're still making a mess. Stop, stop, stop and surrender. Maybe you're here today and you got your ticket to heaven. Woo! But there's not many that know, because you don't want to stir the water. I will acknowledge my Savior before men, because I want my Savior to acknowledge me before the Father. You know, I'm not perfect. I was waiting for this huge amen right there. Oh, I'm not perfect. Shut up, Jack. Jack is talking while you guys are all being serious. No, he knows I'm not perfect. Parker might be the only one in here who's close. But here's the reality. I'm not perfect, but boy, I love Jesus. I love him. He is the only one who has stood by my side. He is the only one who has never given up on me. He is the only one who died in my place. And I'm not ashamed of him. He should be ashamed of me, and he came for me anyway. Are you kidding me? I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto my salvation. Oh, that we would stir the water. Oh, that we would be bold. Oh, that we would represent and honor the name that we bear. Oh, that our lives would be holy. You know what? It'll change the world. So I want to pray for you. Whether you're listening online or whether you're here today, maybe you prayed that prayer that said you need Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you found yourself shy. You know, it's okay to be shy. It's not okay to be shy about the gospel. Does everybody understand that? Let's pray. Father, I want to say thank you for today. Oh. I love this book. I love Paul's teachings. I'm so grateful that it's in our hands today. Lord, first I want to pray for those who maybe have received you today, those who prayed that prayer that they need you. That's the best thing that ever happened to me. And there's been so many amazing things that have happened to me. Like, how did I ever get the wife that I have and the family that I have? Those things are mysteries sometimes, but here's the deal. You are the best thing that ever happened to me. for those who've maybe prayed that prayer to receive you, said that they need you, ask for forgiveness. I pray that you would, Lord, just bring people around them to encourage them. I pray that you'd give them a boldness to share with somebody, maybe somebody who invited them to church or somebody who sent them to our website or maybe Kirtland or I or Tracy, Lord, that they would be able to share that so that we could be praying for them, so that we could be lifting them up, so that we could be encouraging them. And Father God, for those who are here today who maybe have found themselves being shy in this idea that you are our Savior, peel that Band-Aid off. Like, rip it from us. In the days in which we live, will we always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have, and will we understand that you are our hope? Whew. Lord, make us evangelists, I pray. And some, it's going to be gentle, crazy, awesome, creative ways. But Father God, make us unashamed of the gospel, for it is your will that none should perish. Let us get excited about the life that we found. Let us get excited about what you've done. Let us proclaim it with everything we do. Would it glorify you? Ooh, Lord, we want to make you proud. I do. And I know that my opinion of you, like, it doesn't change who you are, but I do. I want to make you proud. I want people to look at this life and to see right through me. I want them to see a living God. I want them to see what you've done. Well, Father God, I pray that we'd live it every day, live it every day, live it every day. Go before us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming. Again, if you know anybody who is interested in Grief Share or should be here, invite them or bring them tonight if you want. God bless you and have an awesome Thanksgiving. If you're getting together for food, some have already done that. Do it again. It's so awesome. Anyway, God bless you and have an awesome week in the Lord.